Good morning. Happy Sabbath. Merry Christmas. What a pleasure it is to once again be before you guys, to share with you guys, to hang out with you all. Just want to take a second and recognize some people who are some unsung heroes that during the pandemic, their workload heavily increased. And through it all, we've been able to stream, and you guys can hear me now, and I don't have to yell. And so just the audio visual team for just being on top of it. Can we just give them? Yes. Yes. I don't know who all has been up there, but I can't even begin to imagine what any of those buttons and dials, and I feel like I'm in an airplane. And so I just wanted to say thank you, Eric and Val, so much. I could not do what you all do. You all spend countless hours. Jonathan, Jordan, love you guys. Thank you so much for what you guys do. Thank you, facilities. This is clean, right? We're comfortable. This is a good temperature. Thank you, facilities. We love you guys, honestly. Even though we don't do stuff during the week or Saturday evening, facilities still has a lot of work. Extra cleaning, extra making sure that everything's socially distant. So just want to say thank you to the people who make this happen, make it possible that I can come here and share the Word of God with you all this morning. I want to give a quick plug. I'm the youth pastor. My name is Chandler. For those who have not met me, I'm Pastor Chandler. We are starting up an intentional mentorship idea plan program where young adults are going to be mentoring our youth. So they're going to be sitting down, talking once a month, going to be checking in every week. And I know that during my time in late high school, early college, mentorship helped me spiritually. It helped me kind of figure out the role that spirituality plays in career. I mean, for me, it was a large part. But in the idea of something else, it was like, man, I still want to share Jesus no matter what I do. And it was those conversations with the young adults, the pastor, the different people in my faith community that helped me to recognize what things were important, what things in my life at that time I needed more energy, needed more love. And so that's something that I'm so excited that Jordan Valiarez is going to be heading. So youth, stay tuned. This is coming the new year. Young adults, if you're interested in doing some mentoring, we are very excited to be getting this going very soon. Very soon. So as the screens show, Hope is our series. Hope in 2020, how appropriate, right? What a year it has been, as Pastor Molly has noted. It's been pretty much a train wreck, to be completely honest. To be completely and fully honest. And so how appropriate that even though Jesus was born in the spring, we celebrate Jesus' birth at the end of the year. I think there's something very important to be said about cycles, right? Because we could have been living with not 7 days in the week, but 1,000 days in the week, and not 365 days, 12 months in a year, but our year would continue on, and there would be no end to it, right? There's no, okay, I'm done with 2020. Let me start 2021. How arbitrary is that in reality? It is, but it isn't, because it's literally planets circulating, going around, that's not the right word, but going around the sun, right? God understood how terrible this year was going to be. And because of 2020, he said, nah, I'm not going to put my people through that. I'm going to give them a restart. And so, Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. 2020 is going to come to an end. Praise the Lord, we have hope. The question for you guys, is 2021 going to be worse? That's the rough thing. That's what I want to get into, following what God has to say through his word about 2020, 2021, hope, a new start, what that all is going to look like for us. Before I dive in, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to look into your word. Thank you so much for the blessing it is that you are with us. Emmanuel, God, Jesus, you're with us. That's what Christmas is. That's what this time of year is. That's what this season is you with us. I pray that you'll come into this room this morning that you'll be present in each one of our hearts, God, pointing out what things from the text apply to us, apply that to the difficulties we're going through, apply to our family, God, and that you, through the word, will live in our minds and our hearts. In your name, amen. I had a conversation with someone 2 weeks ago. I was giving my testimony, and it came across that I'm a cocky individual, full of myself. So let me just clarify that this confidence is not from me. This confidence is because of grace. I was very nervous coming up here. I was very unsure of how this sermon would turn out. I am not good at this, but praise the Lord, I'm a vessel, simply a cup to pour out his word. So none of this is because of me, all of this. There we go. Jesus is like, let me illustrate for you. All of this is because of him. All right? It's clear. Everyone knows. Cool. So I was sermon prepping, sermon planning. There we go. Every time you're just going to be like, Chandler's imperfect. That's what I want you to see. Every time I mess up. Sermon planning, sermon prepping, exegeting the text, looking at the historical context, trying to figure out what God wanted to tell my people, the people of Spring Meadows, the people who joined us online about hope. And he said, yes, I want you in the word, Chandler, but I want you to live the word. So he tested me. He gave me trials, small trials, but trials that tested my patience, caused me to call out to God, where's the hope, God? How do I see you in this situation? So I'm going to tell you about it. It was either Monday or Tuesday. I'm nervous, so I don't remember. But it was Monday or Tuesday, and I had a meeting in the morning, 7:15. Woke up, rushed out because I woke up late. Got to the meeting at 7:30, 15 minutes late. Get to Zaza's, trying to get those sweet little pastries with the cheese inside. Cafecitos, super good. Forgot my wallet. Forgot my wallet. Praise the Lord, technology. I have Google Pay, have my card connected via Google Pay. For those who don't know, you can pay through your phone with no contact. Social distancing. So I got my cafecitos. We're good. The meeting is good. It's about intentional mentorship. There's another plug, Jordan. We talk about it. We're hyped about it. Boom. Good meeting. Praise the Lord. We're hyped about God. Okay, so then I go and meet with Pastor Frank. Super awesome. I don't know if you guys know Pastor Frank. He's pretty cool. Super loving. If I've ever seen Jesus in anybody, I see him. See Jesus in Pastor Frank. So I get done with my meeting with Pastor Frank, and I'm hyped up. I'm like, I'm going to love Spring Meadows. I'm going to give everybody hugs. Say hi to everybody by your name. Still working on that. Be patient with me. And then I'm like, okay, let me go to Publix. Trying to get some Christmas baskets, Christmas gifts, Christmas things to distribute. So I go to Publix. I pile on all kinds of stuff, you know, full carts worth of stuff. Go and pile it onto the little conveyor belt. And it's the Christmas season, right? So everybody in Publix is like sprinting through the store, bumping carts, taking everything off the aisle as fast as they can before anyone else can, right? The holiday season, everybody's jolly, ready to kill each other. So here I am without my wallet, praying and hoping that my Google Pay is going to work. It worked it for the cafecitos, got the sweet little pastries. It's got to work at Publix. Beep, 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 beep. All my items through the line. I'm like, okay, yeah, let me. Oh, shoot. I need to verify the expiration date. Thanks, Google Pay. Let me go ahead and do that. Entered in the wrong expiration date. Didn't realize it. I go to pay, and they're like, oh, there's an error. I was like, okay, hold on, sorry. Step away, but they're still waiting on me. I'm like, okay, why isn't this working? Looking, okay, I need to authorize it. You know, and like sweating by this time because every second is like 20 minutes when there's like people in line just waiting and waiting and waiting. Okay, this has got to work. Hold on just 1 second. Finally, I can't figure it out. So I step out of line to give me a little beep so that I can beep and get back in line once I figure it out. I get on the phone with my company, my credit card company. I'm like, hey, what's going on? And then I figure out the expiration date is wrong. So I fix it, But by the time I want to go back in line to scan again, my credit card was locked because there's suspicious activity. Someone's trying to buy a bunch of Christmas stuff. I mean, that's got to be. No, man. In Florida, Chandler doesn't. So I'm like, okay, can you guys resolve this on the phone with the credit card company? They're like, yeah, for sure. Just give us your social. Okay. Give us the credit card number. Okay, I had a picture. Give us now your ID. We're just going to have to scan it. It's like, after being at Publix for like 40 minutes holding up the line, got to the very end, and it was all for nothing. So I leave Publix frustrated, like, man, if that could have gone any worse, I can't imagine how. And so I'm like, you know what? Let me get out of my head. Today, that day was the day I was planning to go to T-Mobile to go and check in and see, you know, Pastor B, his super cool iPhone. So I look up to Pastor B, and I want to have an iPhone like him. And so I was like, let me go upgrade. It's about that time. It's been more than enough time to upgrade. So, you know, good job, Chandler, being patient, being full of hope for a new iPhone. And so I go to T-Mobile and walk in the door. There's like two people in front of me. I'm like, this will take like 2 seconds. 5 minutes later, 10 minutes later, 15 minutes later. I was like, literally, the two people haven't gone? One person goes into the kiosk. Another person goes in the kiosk. By this time, there's like 15 people behind me, and people are frustrated. There's this one guy yelling on the phone that there's some charge that he's not supposed to have. There's another person yelling because there's people streaming in to get their phones repaired, and they don't realize that phone repair is different than being at the kiosk and getting helped with an upgrade. And so, you know, Christmas spirits, like I said, tensions are high. People are ready to kill each other. Christmas time, love it. So I get finally, after like half an hour, 35 minutes, to the kiosk, and I'm like, hey, I want to see if I can upgrade. Is that possible? They're like, absolutely. What's your phone number? Tell them my phone number. It's in the bulletin. If you guys want to, not bulletin, newsletter. If you guys want to get a hold of me, say, Merry Christmas, Pastor Chandler. It's available. I'm available to pray with you. They asked me for my phone number. I give them my phone number. They're like, awesome. All we need is your ID to verify your identity. Are you kidding me, man? What are you talking about? It's me. How else would I? Come on. So I leave T-Mobile, having wasted hours of my life at two different places, and I'm driving home, and I'm like, I'm not getting pulled over. I'm not getting in a car accident. No. This is just not the day. And so it seems like it's always the little things in life. It's always the little things in life that are like, man, God, I'm about to preach a sermon on hope. What does this have to do with anything? What does this have to do with anything? Come on. I don't understand. So my question to you all is, looking the idea of hope, what a train wreck 2020 has been, and 2021, part of us hopes it's going to be better. We hope it's going to be better. So then, what do we do to figure out how to view 2021 with a perspective that God approves of? And as I told my teens class this morning in Sabbath school, the only way to be able to be in touch with God, we read in Luke chapter 4 about Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. He was filled with the Spirit before he went to the wilderness. And as he was in the wilderness, all he did was quote scripture. Our only way to respond positively to temptation, to life, to our circumstances, is to be in the Word. So this morning, we're going to jump in the Word. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. When all the disciples, not the 12, but the disciples who are following Jesus, when all the disciples begin to leave Jesus, Jesus is discouraged, and he turns to the 12 disciples, and he says, are you all going to leave too? And Peter says, where are we going to go? You're the Christ. And so that's why we're turning to the Word. because there's nowhere else to go. Where are we going to go, God? Where are we going to go? So I appreciate, I just read that in a Bible study with my dad and brother last week, and I was like, man, that's fire. That's so good. Where are we going to go? And so it's appropriate that we're reading in Peter, and that's what Peter said. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. I'm going to read verse 3 and 6, then we're going to dive deep. You ready? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are being kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. That's the overview. Let's get deep. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Saw a quote on the gram the other day as I was scrolling Instagram, for those who are young and don't understand my jargon. And it said, I thought 2020 was going to be the year that I received everything I wanted. But 2020 was the year I appreciated everything I have. Come on. If anything's going to show us what we have, it's difficulty, it's trial, it's hardship. And so Peter begins this epistle by praising God. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God. Something changes in your mind when, even before the conversation begins, you start by praising God. And so we're coming to the edge of a start, right? We're standing on the precipice of a giant cliff called 2020, and we're going to dive off to perhaps our deaths, perhaps a waterfall and, you know, gummy bears and flowers and glorious, wonderful things of 2021. And how are we going to begin? With praise. My grandma, shout out to Mimi, she does this amazing thing where at the end of every day, she takes time, sits down, reflects on 8 different things that she's thankful for at the end of that day. 8 different things that she's thankful for. And it's interesting because it's like a small, almost meaningless or easily forgettable practice. But when I began praying through my prayer journal and listing things that I was thankful for and praying to God, thanking him for those, it was ridiculous how it changed my perspective as I went throughout my day. It was ridiculous how instead of something that was minor and might have taken me off track and frustrated me or angered me, because I had begun the day with praising God for the things I was thankful for, as Mimi had suggested, those things didn't matter. The difficulties didn't seem as big. The splinter in my skin was like, pick it off, flick it away. Instead of being like, oh, I'm going to die. You know, it's like sometimes we're that dramatic over small things. But when we begin our day, as the word suggests, by blessing the Lord, by praising God, as we begin our year by praising God, it changes things. It changes the perspective. It changes how we look at things. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy. So here we are, a room full of sinners, guilty, going through life's difficulties. Praise the Lord. We do not live forever in this current state, right? Imagine if we could step into the fountain of youth, 2020, 2021, the difficulties continue for all ages. You pay taxes for all your life. A million years, 1,000 years. You stub your pinky toe every day on the coffee table. You lose friend, after child, after parent for eternity. Praise the Lord, he gave us the gift of death, right? That this comes to an end, that we can sleep. That's mercy, right? That's mercy. But for God to say, not only am I going to give you a break and say, you're not going to go through this for 1,000 years. You're going to go through this for 60, and then you're going to live forever without any of that. That's abundant mercy. That's mercy beyond. That's what abundance is. For those of you, thank you, God, humbling me once again. For those of you who are younger and need something a little more palatable to understand this, when I graduated senior year of high school, my best friend, he knows me, Russell, he got me a gift, gummy bears. I love gummy bears. And he got me a lot of gummy bears. He got me an abundance of gummy bears. Now, a lot of gummy bears to you guys, what would you say? Like, 2 bags? You've seen those bags at Walmart that are like extra big? They're like 10 bucks? That's an abundance, right? He got me 20 pounds of mango gummy bears. 20 pounds. I was sick of them by like 5, and I just like was just pounding them. That's what an abundance of mercy is like to you youth. 20 pounds of mango gummy bears. Abundance of mercy. Has begotten us to a living hope. Has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So this is a Christmas season, right? Little 8-pound, 6-ounce, dear Lord, baby Jesus, was born as the living incarnation of God himself. Our hope became life. Our hope had a heartbeat. Our hope had breath in his lungs, and that breath went away and came in with every beat. Our hope became a toddler and a young kid that would go run and play, and then a young man, and then an adult. And then our living hope was baptized and began his ministry, saving, healing, loving. And the disciples, their hope in Jesus began to grow. And they said, this is the guy. This is the dude. This is the Messiah. Where else are we going to go? This is the one. Hope was rising. And then just like that, their hope is shattered. Jesus is hanging on a cross, dead. The heartbeat that hope had no longer went. The blood of hope was spilt out. But as it says, our living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's what our living hope rests on, is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Our hope lives as he was begotten, and it continues to live because he is resurrected. When that is the foundation of our hope, that's when we will not move at the difficulties of 2021. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant 20-pound of gummy bear mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. Recently, I've been reading, along with some people from the Florida Conference, the story of the prodigal son, but it's from a different perspective, the prodigal father. So the father gives everything, is almost seen to be wasteful in how much he gives the son. But I want to give a different rendition, just real quick, of the prodigal son. So we all know the story. the wasteful young kid, asks his dad for the inheritance. He goes and spends it all partying on gummy bears, wasted away, useless. And then the son comes back, right? But in our story, we're still out there. We've already spent the inheritance that God has given us, right? He's given us life. We said, God, nah, I want to do things my way. We've sinned. So we've received an inheritance. And we say, nah, I'm going to step away from that and do things my way. Instead of the son coming back, the older brother, our older brother, Jesus, came to get us while we were still in our filth, eating with the pigs. And when we get back to the Father, he gives us his inheritance, right? Because the older brother had the remaining portion of what the Father owned, right, when the Father went away. So the rest that was meant for Jesus, meant for the older brother, is then given to us. That's what it means for us to receive an inheritance. Incorruptible and undefiled. Incorruptible and undefiled. Pastor Bob, super dope guy. You guys seen his Corvette? He has a bright red Stingray-looking body style. I don't know if it's a Stingray, but very, very nice car. Pastor Bob, previous pastor of the church. My grandpa also has some very cool cars. He likes to collect old cars. So he has a couple Mercedes. He has an old Cadillac and a first-generation Corvette, light blue. Very nice cars. I don't know if any of you guys have seen my car. I drive a 2001 Toyota 4Runner. And if you go to the back bumper of my car, you can literally press holes through the rust. That is what we call corruptible, right? That's a corruptible item, material thing. Our salvation, our hope is not corruptible. That's the difference. As pretty as Pastor Bob's car is, as pretty as my grandpa's cars are, they're going to be in the same shape as my 4Runner in a couple years. Not a couple years, but a few years. Eventually, right? And so sometimes as our hope grows, if we're focused on the wrong thing, if we're focused on life like the disciples were, our hope grows. And then when our hope is in something corrupt and that breaks apart, we're left scattered in the upper room hiding, wanting. But when our hope is in something incorruptible, as nice as those cars are, we have to have our hope in something incorruptible and undefiled. Back to the youth. Christmas time, one of my favorite seasons, presents, but also it gets cold. It got cold here in Florida. That's pretty sweet. It got down to like 30-something degrees. I was not expecting that. Back home in New Mexico, it gets a lot colder. Surprisingly, it's a desert, but there's not any water, so it gets super cold. Not super cold, if you're from the north. Like, zero-ish. 30s. And so one of my favorite things around Christmas time was we'd come and be playing, and then we'd come inside, and it's super warm. And the best thing ever, when you've been playing all day in the snow or hanging out, playing with my brother and sister, and you come inside as you want something warm to eat. So one of my favorites is potato soup. Big chunks of potato, super creamy. Potato soup in a bowl, oof, with corn. You're eating it. After a long day playing, you're sweaty and tired, and that potato soup, it's so good. As you're eating it, you're like, what is that? Ugh. Oh, and there's a hair. That's defiled, right? That potato soup that was so good, you're like, I'm full. I'm good. I don't need any more, right? Is that an image that you can understand? When our hope is on something that can be defiled, as good as that potato soup is, when something goes wrong, you don't want it. It doesn't matter how special it was. When you pull between your teeth a long black hair, You're like, no, no, Lord. Right? Right. So God is saying, don't put your hope in something that's corruptible. I'm just going to say one word, politicians. Nothing beyond that. Don't put your hope in something that's corruptible or defilable. Defilable. Sorry, let me enunciate. And that does not fade away. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant 20 pounds of gummy bears, mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are being kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Being kept. Being kept. I know this is a lot of illustrations, but one of the things I enjoy most about Jesus' ministry is it's easy to understand. It's palatable, right? The parables, they're simple. That's what I need. I love theology. I need theology. But when I want to feast on the Word of God, sometimes it's nice to have something simple and easy to understand. So, this text, being kept by the power of God through faith. Being kept. There's a parable of Jesus where he says, you can't rob a strong man. I'm sorry, guys. It was misleading. Not yet. I apologize. That's on me. I looked over and I was like, I wasn't supposed to read that. That wasn't in the script. That was in the plan. My bad. That's on me, guys. Still have a couple more verses to get through. I'm going to signal. I'm just going to tell you because that was my fault. My bad. Everybody, that's on me. Anyways, back to the text. Being kept by the power of God. If you tie up a strong man, you can then steal the possessions of that strong man. So we have this hope. And if we're the strong man, we're going to get tied up. Satan's going to take our hope. But if Jesus is the strong man, our hope can't be taken. Now, when I imagine a strong man, immediately to mind comes my brother. Now, my brother was all-state football, offensive line, defensive line. So this man would get down, and he would pick up, grab you by your shirt, and pick you up and pancake you to the ground to be able to get to the quarterback. So when I think strong man, that's what comes to mind. So if I want my hope protected, that's the type of Jesus that's going to protect my hope versus me. Me versus my brother, now I might have a chance. Christian, if you're listening, I'm sorry, let's not fight. But when I was young, no way. Our hope is being kept, our salvation is being kept by Jesus, held on to, protected like a lineman protects the quarterback, but better because it's Jesus. In this, you greatly rejoice. You greatly rejoice. We're back to praising God. We're back to saying, God, thank you so much for 2020. What a blessing it has been. There is time for lamentation. And mingled into that is praise. Mingled into that is praise. Let me just scooch back. Like I said, I'm imperfect. I skipped over one important thing in verse 5. Who are being kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So the question at the beginning of the sermon, is 2021 going to be like 2020? It's going to be worse. It might be worse. Very likely it's going to be the same or worse. And I know that's the last thing you want to hear. But I'm not here to tell you what you want to hear. I'm here to tell you what it's going to look like so you can be ready. This is Florida, right? If there's going to be a hurricane coming, you don't want to say, no, let's not watch the news. I don't want to reflect on anything negative. You want to know what's coming for real so you can prepare and be ready. So I'm telling you, look at 2021 as a true danger. And if you're not ready, if you're not cool with God, if you're not praising him for the blessings that you see,
something's up, right? That's bad. That's not okay. There's still time, but just be careful. It's sketchy. In this
you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Grieved by various trials. I know it's like a little old age way to say it, but if 2020 has been anything, we've been grieved by various trials. You know, the stages of grief. Yeah, thank you. I've been slapping that around. As you guys can tell, okay, so on Instagram, I made a little announcement about my sermon, and just happenstance, I called it Table Talk, which I feel now is very appropriate for the way that I preach. Very informal. We're just chatting. It's casual. I mess up words. I give people the wrong cue. It's cool because we're family, right? Yeah, we love each other. You guys can forgive this. And yeah, we're good. So Table Talk. Sorry about that. Tell me if there's anything else I need to fix. I'll fix it. Lost my train of thought. Here we are. Grieved. Grief. Yes. Stages of grief. You guys are all familiar with the stages of grief. Denial, anger are among them. I don't know if 2020 has been like that for anyone else. But looking into 2021, I can see huge difficulties, right? What if the church closes again? The church building. What if the church building closes again and we're forced to be online? What if we have to wear masks till 2023? Are we going to keep hope? Are we going to have living hope through that? If you've kept your job, what if you lose it? What if your spouse loses their job? What if you lose a spouse or a child or a sibling? I had a very dear friend lose a sibling this last month. 18-year-old kid out of nowhere. What if 2021 holds another pandemic or a war? We're not far from that, I feel like. What if there's more wildfires? Anxiety, depression, suicide has been at all-time highs, right? So if 2021 looks like this, how can we have living hope? Let me tell you guys the end of my story real quick. Went to Zaza's, got some cafecitos, bread with cheese in it, super good. Go to Publix, infuriated because my card won't work. My card gets restricted. I don't have my ID. I go then to T-Mobile, super angry because I just can't do anything, right? Super frustrated. I get home, and just like the story of Jesus being tempted in the wilderness, I get through the temptations, and an angel comes to feed me. My blood sugar was low, just like Jesus. And when Sabrina fed me that chicken, and I went and got a workout, and I was like, oh, man, I need to do Christmas shopping. On top of every, not like presents, but like groceries, right? The Christmas meal and all that. I was like, I got to go to Walmart 2 days before Christmas after today? So I pull into the parking lot of Walmart, you know, like miles back because it's so busy. And I walk into Walmart. Normally, grocery shopping at any time, you got to spend money, super busy. You could be doing something else, not where I want to be. I walk into Walmart for no reason. I could be practically skipping. I am so joyful going through the aisles, picking up different stuff. I'm smiling at people as they pass by. Someone needed something from the top shelf. I'm like, this is the reason the Lord gave me such long arms. Here you go, ma'am. And just a joy inexpressible. So back to my question, in the car leaving T-Mobile, God, what is hope? Are you kidding me? And I know this seems like a small thing, but what God whispered to me then was hope isn't changing your circumstances. Hope is patient endurance to something better. And as I reflect on that small thing, right? Grocery shopping, this is something tiny. But as I apply that to the difficulties of my life, to a childhood that should have hindered me, if anything, from being right here. The difficulties of how I grew up, that truth that hope didn't change the circumstance. Hope didn't make my childhood better. But hope gave me that patient endurance to get to where things were better. Sorry. Okay, I'm sorry. This will get better. I'm young. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving at the end of your faith the salvation of your souls. Train wreck. 2021, possible train wreck. So looking forward at that possibility, being real, being honest about what it's going to look like, what it might be like to live through another year of 2020. The idea of hope is that it doesn't change your circumstances. It changes you. Because you have Jesus. And that's it. Father in heaven, we thank you for the living hope that we have in Jesus. We thank you that even though 2020 has been just a wreck of a year, we have reason to praise you. You've showed us how blessed we are. Not just for what we have in these years, God, but what we have beyond. Salvation, Father. I ask that if anybody under the sound of my voice has not gotten things straight for 2021, their spiritual life, God, that you will put on them a weight of the importance of connecting with you, Jesus. It's so simple because we accept salvation and that's it. The battle's already been won. I pray that you will give us a living hope that despite the difficulty of circumstances that come, we can have patient endurance through it all. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this church family. We love you so much. Amen.